These are the recollections, Turner Ashby. Memories of the years when the oceans rose, and the several states were separated asunder. Chapter 6. I suppose it's time to take you home, I said to Lace. I've been prepared, I had expected, to cross rivers, cross mountains, across every separate state in search of that girl. And there she stood before me. She'd never gone further than Harper's Ferry. She jumped off the Children's Christian Mission bus on the first stop, left a second-hand purse with a few family photos, a torn ticket, old pair of smart glasses, a pokey plastic horse. Disappeared into a small crowd, didn't tell anyone. She just sent messages with the wrong information to all the right people. It was brilliant. It was absolutely deflating to me. I was not able to show the breadth of my heroics. They were not necessary, and they were not called upon. Ladies had saved herself. All I could do was suggest that we finish the job and get her home. We can't, Turner. We can't go home. It's not safe. Lace put a hand on my arm like she was talking about the death of an auntie or a distant cousin. What do you mean? I said. Everything is fine in Richmond. I was just there. It won't be, Lace said to me. It may never be again. She looked off mid-distance. A tear in her eye. A squirrel ran along the edge of the porch rail. A Cooper hawk floated above. A week or so later, we heard that the country of North Carolina had declared war on the Commonwealth of Virginia. Peace talks had broken down, if they ever been built up. The border was closed, and it was fortified. Non-residents were conscripted, especially those from Tennessee. My Virginia was going to have to raise an army. Most likely, it would have to borrow money to do it. And that's always a complicated rub in these interesting times. State goes on and cuts his apron strings from the Union to avoid taxes. And what's the first thing that happens? They find themselves in a war. Can't have a good war without taxes, you just can't. You can look it up in Wikipedia, that's what I always did. North Carolina doesn't have the manpower to take on Virginia, I said with a certain pride and hopeful knowledge, except for the research triangle down in Durham. There weren't all that many people in North Carolina, indentured or no. But they have money, Lee said, and that brings allies and partners. And that was true enough. North Carolina wasn't as much a sovereign nation as it was a corporation. Here's why. I don't know if I've mentioned this, I may not, but I met the owner of the internet one time. Trey Zuckerhauser was his name, world's first trillionaire. He'd first bought and consolidated digital space. He owned 23 search engines and 45 social sites. He consolidated the largest online banking services. He broke up Microsoft and he broke up Apple. And he owned the cloud. He owned the platform the cloud was on. He claimed to own all that emanated out of the cloud. Now that was debatable. But I do believe he wanted to and aimed to own every digital one and zero there was. He was a player. No question he liked to play. I met him at a party he threw a couple years earlier. He just bought North Carolina. I was down there at a celebration of the state's privatization, first in the country. I was with Lays, with her parents, and my father, who had been the federal judge that ruled on the validity and the constitutionality of that case. My father later said he tried to see all kind of ways to rule against that, but Trey Zuckerhauser had a bill of sale. You can't argue against a bill of sale. Just can't. Hang it up on the wall like it was a state constitution, which it basically was. Zuckerhauser had bought North Carolina, mainly because he was an alumni and a rabid fan of the Duke Blue Devils. And I suppose if you buy an Atlantic Coast Conference basketball team, you may as well go ahead and buy the whole damn state. He pressed to have South Carolina thrown in as party favor. But that was seen as a stretch, and that South Carolina had not dismantled its own constitution at that point. It would, but it hadn't at that time. Zuckerhauser had an interesting ego. He had the ego of a prophet, a true believer. For all the money he had, for all the fame, for all the times he had made the correct and proper bet, which very often, he always felt he'd been wronged. And he constantly wanted proof both of the wrongdoing and finally of his own superiority. We were wide-eyed about the lavishness of that party. All the favors, the food. But in retrospect, I know my father especially was only invited down there so Trey Zuckerhauser could gloat. He wanted my father, the federal judge, to see that he was a pawn and a witness to the purchasing of a state and a witness to the complex financial leveraging it took to buy a government, because that's what Zuckerhauser actually had bought. He'd bought the government in North Carolina. The citizens were junior stockholders at best. Now I tell you all this nonsense from so long ago to tell you a little story about Lays. Zuckerhauser met us and he immediately took a shine, took a little interest in Lays. This is always something that periodically happened throughout her life. Powerful men offering her protection, offering her knowledge as sweets. And so it was with Zuckerhauser. He offered her an education. He was starting up an exclusive boarding school for the betterment of the progeny of the East Coast elite, since the DeVry Institute had bought Harvard, and Lays, she was invited. Mrs. Fitzgerald said, how kind, but she wasn't so sure. Mr. Fitzgerald said, well, it was something they would seriously consider. The man stood close to Lays, much too close to Lays, in my opinion, and showed much too much interest in Lays. Fawning all over her. Yeah, I want only the best and the brightest, the commander of the internet said. Then he looked at me and he commented, he can come too if necessary. My father slightly raised his eyebrows at that. Lays laughed at herself silly. Yeah, she almost attended that school. I know she visited down there a number of times. I gotta get down to Richmond and volunteer, I said. There was some sleet in the air coming down in the hard, bare woods of our side of the mountain. It was the second week of December, and I knew if I were to leave, I would have to leave soon. Nothing slicker than the ice and the woods of the eastern slopes of the Appalachians. It would be like a crystal glass replica of a forest, like a forest you are told not to enter. Don't, Turner. Don't you go, Lays said. North Carolina is bringing in mercenaries from Texas and a drone navy from Florida. Governor Zuckerhauser, he's going to try to punch through to Richmond before we're prepared. All the more reason, I said. You don't understand, she said. There's got to be a pair of boots around here somewhere, I said, and I rummaged through the closet looking for Sam Bellow's stash of winter gear. Now, he has no shoes, no underwear, and whatnot. Sam was always laying in supplies for something. He'd had me chopping wood all fall. By then, I had a couple cores on the lean-to next to the cabin. Now I knew why. The sleet was turning to snow. It was a wintry afternoon, and the gray of the ground, the gray of the trees, and the gray of the sky all matched. We heard a single shot, echoed and rang in the woods, and then there was silence again, snow silence. Then there was a knock on the door. Sam, I said. Sam Bellows stepped in. He was my father's forester and my childhood protector, although he was much more a protector of the land. He liked that title, Forester, fit him. He liked the duties. Sam looked around the spare and easy interior of that cabin. It all was his. Shot a poacher, he said. Shot him a couple 300 yards down the line. No need for you two to go down there. The way the weather looks, you'll be covered up maybe all way spring. What'd you shoot him for, Sam? Lays asked. He was stalking a deer. I saw him. He wasn't going to let up. Couldn't you just shot him with some buckshot? Asked Lays. He wasn't going to let up, Sam said again. Now at least I know where he is. Here. Sam had brought along a soft shell rifle case, an old Weatherby Mark V Deluxe in there with a Bushnell scope. He handed Lays a Springfield XD. You remember these, don't you? Now Lays nodded. She took that handgun. She used to go shooting with Sam. I don't think there'll be any trouble, but keep your eyes open. Use the scope. Let Lays shoot if you have to. Turner, I know you can't hit the side of a barn. Is this land really that important? I asked Sam. It is this winter, Sam said. With all the politics and the changes going on, nobody's planting crops. Nobody's paying attention to stock. Could be a lean year next year. Hungry year. Yep, land's important. Sam accepted a cup of coffee and went on out. Said he'd be gone for a couple days, maybe a week. Turned out to be 3 months. He was going to lead 200 or so name changers down the mountain to Fulton Mill. There were barns down there, shelter, some supplies. One rode in, one rode out. It was safe, it was defensible. He led them on like he was leading cattle to greener pastures. They didn't want to stay up here anyway. I'll stay till morning, I said. I was hot to get to Richmond, join a regiment. I was hot to fight old Suckerhauser, defend the state's honor, defend Lays' honor, defend my honor. Had to defend something. Whatever, Lays said, and she turned away. We ate that evening in silence. That two-room cabin had two beds. All fall, Lays had always insisted I take the bed in the main room near the fire. That fire was actually a pretty highly efficient wood-burning potbelly stove, and I was more liable to keep it stoked than Lays anyway. Lays said she liked the extra room and the door. She closed that door. She usually slept late. Around midnight, the winds came. Temperature dropped. The snow began to come down appreciably. 7 years later, I can still remember that night like it was the night before last. Move over, Lays said, and she slipped in beside me in my bed. What? She said. My feet are cold. Next morning, there were 2 foot of snow on the ground. You hardly push open the door of the cabin. Next few days, it'd be 4 foot in some places, drifting up 5 foot, maybe even 6 on the ridges. The great storm series of the winter of 2032 had begun. Socked in the entire East Coast for 3 months, from Maine down to Carolinas, across Kansas, the Dakotas, half the continent. And I suppose this was the exception that proved the rule of global warming. Climate change. They never did come up with a word for the whatever it was. It hadn't snowed any appreciable mountain for 20 years before then. Not since probably a year or two before I was born. Then the Arctic wind shifted. Gulf Stream shifted. And we were in for a little mini ice age that year. Climatologist friend later told me that storm front was like dumping a few ice cubes in a rum and coke. They were going to melt, but they keep you cool for a while. How do you know all what you know? I asked Lays, laying there beside her, and I did dearly love laying there beside her. How do you know about North Carolina? How do you know about the troop movements? About Nova Scotia, Syria, Chilean coast? How'd you know? Lays leaned up on one elbow, tugged at the old quilt to pull it up over her bare shoulder. Texas just annexed more of Mexico. They're planning another inland canal off the Rio Grande, she said and sort of shrugged. Turner, stop looking at me and my breasts. What is wrong with you? Stuck up here on top of this mountain? I couldn't help but look. She was the most beautiful thing I'd ever seen. How do you know what you know is true? How do you know it's not all misinformation just coming off another cloudburst? You remember all those times we went down to Durham? She asked. I nodded. I got a new chip in my head, Turner. It's a universal. It's brand new. Not many out there. I have access to everything. Anything that goes through a server or skips off the cloud or hits a satellite, I can see it. It's just right there, right in front of me. Can you send out? Never tried, Lady said. Sometimes I don't like it, Turner. What's a 17-year-old girl supposed to do with the tax records of everyone in North America? What? I don't have a filter. They were supposed to give me a filter. I don't have a filter. It just comes in. Everything comes in. I pulled Lays close to me. I kissed her. Maybe you need to be distracted, I said. Maybe so. And she kissed me back. If we ever get down off this mountain, you can't tell a soul. You know that. Who would I tell? In those times of flood and blizzard, war and upheaval, all I wanted to do was make love to Lays Fitzgerald. She let me. So that's the way we spent Christmas and rang in the new year of 2032. Huddled close in the shelter of a single bed near the warm stove. Merry Christmas. I had a perfect one once. Next time I'll tell you all about waiting for spring. Turner Ashby.